Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're diving into three stocks that operate businesses that appear somewhat immune to the coronavirus economic downturn and the forced shutdown of a decent chunk of the economy over the last month or so. But before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So we're going to jump right into it now. So stocks jumped on Monday as Wall Street seems pretty pleased with signs that social distancing, especially in the United States, seems to be working. So the Dow jumped nearly 5% through mid-morning trading, with the S&P 500 up over 4.5% and the NASDAQ up over 4.5% as well. So this came after New York, which has been, if you're following the news, the hardest hit place in the U.S. on Sunday, reported its first decline in deaths a day. But it should be noted that Governor Andrew Cuomo cautioned that it's still a little too early to understand the significance of this figure going forward. And with that said, health officials and the White House have warned that, new models show that the number of cases are likely to reach new highs in the coming days or at some point in the next week or so. And then on Sunday, Surgeon General Jerome Adams said that this week would, quote, be the hardest and saddest week most Americans' lives. So this is, as I just mentioned, cases are expected to peak in some of the hardest hit cities, which include New York. So I'm sure, though, at this point, no matter how serious this is, people are a little not annoyed, but just it's been so much talk about the coronavirus for now, it seems like months at this point, that people don't really need any death toll updates or any more coronavirus news. So we're going to jump now right into the three stocks that investors might want to buy that seem somewhat immune to the current coronavirus-based economic conditions. And we're going to start with Chewy, which trades under the ticker CHWY. Chewy started in 2011 as an e-commerce-focused pet store that offers delivery in the Amazon age. The Florida-based firm sells pet food, pet supplies, treats for a wide variety of animals. They also sell medications and much more. So you can really think of it as kind of a PetSmart for e-commerce. So it's just direct to consumer. Chewy went public in June of 2019, and it has outperformed the likes of Uber, Lyft, Peloton, Smile Direct, and some other newcomers over the last 6 months, with the stock up about 30%. And shares of Chewy have also surged about 20% so far in 2020. This outpaces the S&P 500's clearly 22% decline at this point. And then more recently, the stock is up about 40% since mid-March. And this comes as more Americans are stuck inside their homes. And then if we look back to last Thursday, April 2nd, which now seems like it was forever ago at this point, the firm reported its fourth quarter and full year fiscal 2019 financial results. So Chewy posted strong Q4 results with its full year sales up 40% to $4.85 billion. The company also added roughly 3 million customers to close the year with about 13.5 million active customers. And we should note that the company noted that its subscription style, what it calls auto ship customers, accounted for over 70% of its Q4 sales. And then this is a quote from the CEO on the company's earnings call. He said that, quote, higher spending from our existing customers and growing auto ship sales reflect strong business momentum as customers continue to shift their spending to Chewy, driving increased basket size, higher repeat purchase activity. So that just gives a sense that once they get customers, it seems like these core auto ship customers are continuing to drive growth, and maybe as more people turn to them during these times where no one's supposed to leave their house, that they get more customers who become repeat longer-term customers down the road. So looking ahead, Chewy expects its first quarter fiscal 2020 sales to climb as high as 37%. So this would come after they did 40% growth for the full year last year to reach between $1.5 and $1.52 billion. And this currently comes in well above our Zach's Q1 estimate of about $1.45 billion, which would have marked about 31% growth. So look for analysts to continue to update their estimates. And as those come in, our estimates here at Zach's will change. Chewy is also still firmly in its growth phase and is currently expected to post adjusted losses in fiscal 2020 and 2021. So don't think of it as any type of value play at the moment. It's certainly a growth-focused company. And executives on the earnings call did note that it wasn't prudent at the time to provide full-year guidance. And this has become all too common for companies, is that they just don't really know. There's so much uncertainty out there. So they won't provide full-year guidance, but they did provide that Q1 sales guidance. And that said, the company's positive earnings estimate revision activity helps it earn a Zacks ranked number one strong buy right now. The company also boasts A grades for both growth and momentum in our style score system. And its consumer products staples industry, so it's that consumer staples, rests in the top 25% of our more than 250 Zacks industries at the moment. And as I mentioned, look for our estimates to be revised as more analysts put in those new estimates based on their new guidance for Q1. And it seems pretty obvious that Chewy's business seems relatively tailor-made for the current coronavirus economy and beyond, as more of these companies prove that delivery is going to be key, as you see Walmart and Target doing everything they can to roll out their e-commerce and delivery offerings to compete with Amazon. And Chewy operates more niche offering than all of these companies. So it doesn't have to necessarily compete with Amazon or Walmart or Target. So it's got a nice little pocket of this larger e-commerce space that it can address. And with all of that said, Chewy stock slipped on Friday as part of that broader market downturn, but then it jumped again on Monday, and it currently rests at around $34 per share, which is still over 10% off its 52-week highs, and it might be a price point that some people wouldn't mind scooping up, a stock that could continue to grow for not only this current coronavirus economy, but years down the line, as we know that Americans and people all around the world love their pets. So now we're going to jump on to another stock that sometimes I don't really think about that often, because you hear the NASDAQ and you think of the index and you think of what's going on. But we're going to look at NASDAQ, which trades under the ticker NDAQ. Excuse me. I have some seasonal allergies at the moment. So NASDAQ, as most people know, is a stock exchange powerhouse. It's globally significant. This is alongside New York Stock Exchange. The tech-heavy NASDAQ played a role in helping companies like Apple and Microsoft become the titans they are today. And it was really a financial pioneer, because it was the world's first all-electronic stock exchange. So today, NASDAQ lists thousands of companies. And as we mentioned, its index is widely tracked and as a proxy of the overall health of the market and the tech sector of the economy. And so currently, for those of you who don't know, NASDAQ breaks down its business into four sort of broader units: market services, corporate services, information services, and market technology. Its market services segment was its largest, so it accounted for 35% of fourth quarter revenue, with that market technology at its smallest at about 15%. So overall, the company makes money from listing fees, transaction fees, market data access fees, and much more. In the company's 2019, revenue climbed marginally to about $2.54 billion. And we should note, though, that its non-trading segment jumped about 10%, while its market services sales dipped 5% from what it calls a multi-year annual high in 2018 as volatility and volumes receded. And this is obviously in 2009. And then on top of that, we should note that NASDAQ is in the midst of what it calls a strategic pivot, as it's trying to become more of a tech-focused company. So I'll read a quote from the company's Q4 remarks. Their CEO said that while we're still in the early stages of repositioning NASDAQ as a technology and analytics provider, we enter 2020 with clear momentum carried over from our strong finish to 2019. And we will continue working to open additional areas of opportunity as the year progresses. So they're trying to become more than a stock exchange. They're trying to become a broader sort of technology and analytics firm, as they just alluded to. And then meanwhile, on March 15th, the company did note that they put out a statement regarding the coronavirus, that their operations are going to continue to run smoothly in the United States. I'm not going to go into any more details, but as a company that started based on being all electronic, it only makes sense that they're going to be able to work very smoothly in this sort of work from home, work remotely environment. And then on top of that, the coronavirus has led to increased trading volatility, which is actually reflected in NASDAQ's February 2020 volume data. So that is a good thing for any investors in NASDAQ. And NDAQ stock has outpaced the S&P 500 over the last 5 years. It's up 88%. And more recently, the stock is up about 7% in the last year. And this compares to the S&P 500. It's now broader 12% decline over the last 52 weeks. And then the company has also outpaced its peer group in 2020. It's down just about 11%. And its 31% jump in the last 2 weeks also outpaces its peer group. So it's still down in 2020, but it has jumped in the last several weeks as well. And so it's part of, as I just alluded to, it's part of our Zacks Securities and Exchanges industry, and that rests in the top 4% of our more than 250 Zacks industries at the moment. So it's certainly a solid industry to look at that some of its peers might be worth diving into as well. So that includes CME Group, CBOE, Global Markets, and then Intercontinental Exchange, as well as a few others that are highly ranked at the moment as well. And we should also note that NASDAQ consistently raises its dividend, with its current yield resting at around 2%. This tops the 10-year U.S. Treasury's 0.65% and its industry's 1.5% average. So you get a solid dividend payment. And the company has historically traded at a discount compared to its industry. It's currently trading at about 16.7 times forward 12-month Zacks earnings estimates, which comes in below its industry's 18.3 average and its own 3-year median. So valuation solid, dividend solid as well. And looking ahead, our current Zacks estimates call for its revenues to jump about 5% in fiscal 2020 and 2021. And obviously these estimates can change. And then on the bottom end of the income statement, its earnings are projected to climb about 10% this year and then another 8% in 2021. And then along with this positivity, its earnings revision activity has also remained relatively positive, and this helps it earn a Zacks rank number 2 buy at the moment. And then if we look ahead, we should note that the company is set to post its Q1 results, so you'll have much more of a understanding of what the company did and what they're expecting for the rest of the year. And they report those results on April 22nd. And as I mentioned, the stock has surged about 30% in the last 2 weeks. It jumped over 4% again on Monday to around $98 per share. But despite this climb, the stock's still resting roughly 20% below its 52-week highs. So amid the current economic conditions where the market's actually seeming like, and obviously things could change, it's seeming like maybe it's bottomed out and we'll just be in this sort of volatile market, which actually is certainly not bad for a company like NASDAQ. And along with its dividend and value, it might be a stock worth considering at the moment. And now we're going to close with a totally different stock. There's three completely different stocks, but they're all operating businesses that seem pretty immune to the broader coronavirus downturn. So we're going to close with Eli Lilly, which trades under the ticker LLY. The stock closed the first quarter above where it started, which was certainly no easy task amid what we know happened with the Dow ending in its worst quarter since 1987. And most people have at least heard of Eli Lilly at some point. Eli Lilly is a historic pharmaceutical powerhouse. It saw its 2019 revenues climb about 4%, and its Q4 sales climbed 8%, which topped our estimates. And this was driven by 10% volume expansion. And it noted that many of its offerings, which have launched since 2014, this includes Trulicity, Emgality, and some others, were key growth engines and overall sales contributors. And overall, the company's top line expansion helped the company's adjusted fiscal year earnings climb about 11%. And then it recently completed a $1.1 billion acquisition of a chronic skin conditions specialist to broaden its portfolio as well. And then we should also note that as part of the ongoing coronavirus situation, the company did announce on March 23rd that it will, quote, delay most new study starts and pause enrollment in most ongoing studies amid the coronavirus, continuing saying, quote, Lilly is working hard to alleviate some of the pressure that the global COVID-19 pandemic has placed on our healthcare system. And this is from a top Eli Lilly executive in a statement. So that's just to let people know that they are slowing some of their studies amid all of this craziness with the coronavirus. With that said, though, Lilly stock has outperformed over the last 2 years compared to its large cap pharmaceutical industry. It's up over 80%, and this is against its industry's 9% average. This also tops the S&P 500 as well. And then Lilly has crushed the S&P 500 and its industry over the last decade. So that's a much broader view. And then more recently, the stock is up about 8% or a little bit more in 2020. And this is against the large cap pharmaceutical market's 11% decline. And that includes the likes of Pfizer, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, and a few others. And justifiably, with that in mind, the stock has traded at a premium compared to its industry over the last 5 years, and it's currently trading at about 19.6 times forward 12 months earnings, which does mark a discount, though, to its one-year high of about 23 times. And it's right in line with its own five-year median. So despite its climb, its valuation is pretty solid at the moment. And the company also consistently raises its dividend, with its 2019 payout up about 15% compared to 2018. And then this trend continued with its new annualized dividend up another 15%, and it's currently paying $2.98 per share. And its dividend yield rests at about 2.15%, which is right near the S&P 500. And it's certainly not artificially inflated by a falling stock price, as many companies now are at the moment. So on top of that, our Zacks estimates call for Lilly's adjusted fiscal 2020 earnings to jump about 12%. And then its earnings are expected to climb 17% higher that next year. And then on the top line, its revenues are projected to climb 8% this year, and then another nearly 6% next year. And it's also part of an industry that's pretty strong. All of these companies are part of an industry that are pretty strong. That gets to the point I'm making, that these companies are relatively immune to the broader coronavirus market conditions at the moment. So its large cap pharma industry is in the top 14% of our Zacks industries at the moment. And Lilly's longer term earnings outlook has remained elevated since it reported its Q4 results. This helps it hold a Zacks rank number one strong buy at the moment. So with all that said, Lilly certainly looks like a stock that could be recession resilient, that offers income amid a downturn via its dividend payments. So for all those reasons, it's certainly worth diving a little deeper into. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.